The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out, and behold, the star they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord. As Father Chris said at the beginning, Epiphany is not about something suddenly appearing. It isn't. Epiphany refers to something that's already present, being recognized for what it truly is. It's not so much about some truth being revealed to us as it is about us finally realizing the truth that's been staring us in the face. This story is usually interpreted as the entire Gentile world, as represented by these wise visitors, being able to recognize the greatness, even the emerging divinity, in the child Jesus. That's true. But it's more than that. Consider what we have been celebrating these days and will continue to celebrate. There has already been one epiphany. The shepherds in Luke's nativity story surely recognized something remarkable about Jesus. Next Sunday, we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, where the voice of God makes Jesus' divine nature plain to anyone who's present. And on the following Sunday, we'll hear about plain water becoming the finest of wine at a wedding feast. Mary certainly recognized her son's power, and the other guests tasted the result. By my count, that is four consecutive occasions for an epiphany. In the scene Matthew paints for us today, Jesus is present in the flesh to everyone. Anyone there can see him, touch him, hear him, smell him. What do you suppose God wants us to learn through Matthew's writing about Jesus at his birth? Look at who had the epiphany, the shepherds. They're the lowest of workers. They're always working and they always smell bad. They are completely without social standing or power. But they can see what is staring them in the face. Meanwhile, the powerful and the privileged of the government and of the temple refuse to see. They seek to eliminate a perceived threat rather than welcome a grace that's been freely given. These foreigners who have wisdom but have no real power in the land they're visiting, they can see the truth and the grace in Jesus. So what's the pattern? One way to look at it is this. The more we have in worldly power and comfort, the more difficult it is for us to see change as a good thing. The less we tend to trust in divine justice to maintain our privilege. Consider the shepherds. They are the have-nots, and the visitors, they are the outsiders. They can see. The king and the temple officials, the haves, they can't see clearly. They can't see at all. They only see a need for violence to protect their privilege. For me, this gospel is not so much about strangers recognizing the God to whom we pray so that we can say, "We told you so." It's more about the hidden bits of my soul that have become complacent toward Christ, that are reluctant to risk any of my power and comfort, that have begun to take God for granted. Those bits of me are there. They keep showing up all the time. And often, it takes a stranger or someone that I see as powerless to show me a way, a new way, that God continues to work in our world right now. Hold that thought and see if it happens to you this week.